Good evening. Good evening. We have a small turnout tonight. This is the fourth of four sessions that the city has been holding on the charter review process. And I'm happy to welcome you. More staff coming. My name is Marilyn Crotty. I'm the director of the Florida Institute of Government at the University of Central Florida. And I have been engaged by the city to assist and facilitate in this charter review process. So first of all, I recognize a lot of faces of people who've been here before. Is this the first workshop for some of you? Okay, and have you been to some of the others?
No.
No, okay, so we got about half the people are new and half of the people have been through this before. So with that said, I've got a brief presentation. This is the agenda for the evening, so we'll go through some of the earlier stuff fairly quickly because half of you have heard it before at least once, twice, or maybe three times, but I do want to share this information with the rest of you because part of this whole process has been to educate the community about charters and how they work and don't work, and then to, of course, get input from you. So I'll talk a little bit about the process that the city has been going through, and then we'll talk about charters in general, and I'll open the floor at that time for public comment, where any of you who would like to talk about anything that's in the charter, not in the charter, should be changed in the charter, will be welcome to speak for a 3-minute time period. And then we'll move into some discussion of the sections of the charter that we have not yet talked about. And the way this has been arranged, at each of the meetings we've taken different sections of the charter, and tonight we'll be talking about the last 3 sections of the charter. And then I will open it again for public comment on things you've heard, not heard, reiterating what you may have talked about before, but to give you an opportunity to give input. And so we have 3 elected officials here tonight who are here to listen to your comments. At the end of, after tonight's meeting, I'll be compiling a report of all of the information that's been generated at the 4 workshops, and that'll be shared with the elected officials. So we'll end no later than 8 o'clock, earlier if we finished everything we need to do. So this whole process has been designed to allow for maximum citizen participation. We've had varying turnouts. I think this is probably the smallest. We've gone up to about 20 people at one of the sessions, but not huge numbers coming. And to me, that's not surprising. I do these kinds of activities in quite a few areas of the state, and it's not the topic that draws the biggest crowd or the most interest, but those who come are very interested, and we're really pleased about that. So as I said, we've had 3 workshops previously. One was held in each of the districts, and tonight is the final of these type of public workshops. There will be a final, it may not be the final session, there will be another session. This is for the council to get my report and to start discussing some of the issues that have been raised, not only by people who come to these meetings, but by comments that have been shared on the website and recommendations that I will be making to them of things that I think would improve the charter. We may need more than one to go through those discussions, but we'll see after the 28th. There'll definitely be workshops in December and January because if there are any changes to be made to the charter, they will have to be put into the form of an ordinance, which will have to be approved, have 2 public hearings again, and then be approved for adoption. And ultimately, if there are changes to be made, the residents will see those, the voting residents, on the ballot in November of 2018. So this is all leading up to that process. So, charters in general, every city has a charter. You're required to have a charter when you become a city. They're all different, but there are many characteristics that are common among the charters. It's the local constitution for your city. So it sets up basically the structure and function of your government. And when you look at charters, you should not look at them with the keeping in mind the people who are currently in office or the positions that are currently filled by an individual, because the charter is going to go long past the tenure of any of these folks. So it shouldn't be written because you like this person or don't like that person. It should be written for what's going to be best for the community for the long term, so that you don't have to frequently change it, but you know, you do need the opportunity to update it as times change. Charters should be fairly simple, clear, and compact. You don't want a huge volume. You want something that you can pick up, read, understand, and abide by. Readable, understandable. And they need to be very consistent, as far as there shouldn't be something in one part of the charter that is then contradicted in another part of the charter. So there shouldn't be those kinds of conflicts in a good charter. And there should not be any ambiguity where it's open to interpretation. And frequently that ends up being a reason why sometimes charters need to be changed, because it's not clear what the intent is, and it can be read in different ways. So again, the charter should be comprehensive as far as covering all the basics for how the city should be structured and how it should function, but you don't want it to be loaded up with details. So again, you want to leave some discretion to your elected officials, to your city council. So I frequently, and I talked about this at the other sessions, if you look at the U.S. Constitution, it's been in existence for well over 200 years, only amended 27 times. And that's amazing, really, when you think about what a good job our forefathers, because there weren't any mothers involved at that time in writing it, but wrote a really good document that has stood the test of time and has been modified minimally, really, over all of these years. And then you contrast it with the Florida Constitution, which is changed on a regular basis. I think I saw something, it's 200 or 300 amendments. And that's only since 1968, when we totally rewrote the Florida Constitution. So those of you who are regular voters know every time you go to the polls for a general election, there's usually 3 or 4, sometimes 11 amendments on the ballot. And many of them do not fit that definition of just identifying the basic structure and function. They are full of all kinds of details that many people feel should be put into law, not into constitutions. And the same holds true for cities. If there are details about how to run the city on a day-to-day basis, those should be adopted as ordinances, because you can change ordinances fairly easily when you need to, not terribly, but fairly easily, much easier than changing your charter. The only way the charter can be changed is going to a vote of the citizens. So if you're constantly changing your charter, you're going to have to hold a lot of special elections to have people vote on those changes. Therefore, again, not a good way to run your government. On leaving discretion to the council, I've seen cities where they have some things in their charter that are so narrow and so confining that there's been great opportunities that have presented themselves to those cities, but their charter didn't let them take advantage of it because you first had to get permission from the citizens to do whatever it was, and by the time they would set up an election and have either the approval or disapproval of the citizens, the opportunity was gone. It went to some other city. So you don't want to put things in your charter again that are going to limit your opportunities. And the whole idea behind it is, with representative government, you elect people who you hope will carry out what the constituents are interested in, that you have access to them to try to influence them. And if they don't, somebody runs against them the next time, and you, hopefully you elect somebody who will again represent you well. So the charter shouldn't be the tool for trying to control the city council. Don't tie the hands of the elected officials. And again, the charter should be short and readable. So, with that said, I guess I'll go talk about this. The charter can't be in conflict with the federal or state constitutions. If it is, the federal or the state constitution takes priority, and you would have to go with what they say are the rules and the way you do things. And so you want to make sure that nothing in your charter is in conflict, because then it's meaningless in your charter. And the city has to, once you have a charter in place, the city is supposed to follow the charter. It's your local constitution. And as I've said before, it can only be changed by a vote of the citizens. So that's when you'll have an opportunity in November, a year from now, to do that. Okay, so now I'm going to stop talking, open it up for public comment. I would appreciate it. I'm going to bring the microphone to whoever wants to speak so this can be recorded. And if you would just identify yourself for the record, and we'll give you the 3-minute time limit. You can speak about any part of the charter that you would like to address. So if you'll identify yourself as someone who wants to speak, I will be happy to allow you that opportunity. Yes, no? Gonna wait till the end? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody who wants to speak at this time, so I'm gonna close out this part of the agenda, and we'll move on to talk about Palm Coast Charter. So the existing charter was written in 1999, which is when the city was formed, when the city was established. And that was part of the whole process of becoming a city. A charter had to be written, and that charter, because there was no city at the time, was actually approved by the legislature. So while there have been some amendments to your charter over the years, there's not been a comprehensive review of the entire document since 1999, and certainly those of you who've been here any length of time know that Palm Coast has grown dramatically since you first became a city. So it is time to do a larger review of the charter. The council approved having this charter review, and they're doing it according to the provision in state law that allows city councils to do this kind of review and changes. So tonight we are looking at sections 10 through 12. These are probably the less exciting, I'll say, parts of the charter, but there are some very interesting things in these three sections. And they deal with, section 10 is called General Provisions, and it deals with the charter amendment, the whole review process, something called initiative and referendum, which I'll describe to you in a minute. And it also has in here how you adjust the voting districts where the elected officials run from. And it also has a part that's called standards of conduct, which is an ethics statement. And then section 11 is a very short section. It has one little paragraph in it, and it deals with severability, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then the last section is called transition schedule. And that one is largely was written as you transitioned from being unincorporated to being incorporated. So the creation and establishment of the city is how you were going to deal with the ordinances and resolutions, the comprehensive plan, land development regulations. So one of the tasks that the city asked me to engage in as I assist with the process was for me to look through your charter and see areas that I thought either were in conflict, were obsolete, were not clear, and to just raise some issues for the council to consider as they go through the process, and also to present them to you as the citizens so you can comment and get your reactions. So in these three sections, these are the things that I see that need some attention, could be addressed. I am by no means, you know, have the ability or the power to force anybody to look at anything in the charter, but just in my experience at working with cities and with charters, these are some areas that I think need some attention. So the first part was the charter review. And those of you who have been participating in this process for the last couple of months, I guess, are well aware, and we've had plenty of public comment, that the process that's set up in the charter is very confusing because it gives you some options and it has some shalls and some mays, and it is confusing. And so it definitely, in my opinion, needs to be cleaned up, needs to be addressed. There is currently a provision for periodic review. Not clear whether that has to be done or may be done. It talks about establishing a citizen committee to do that review. It does not have the word citizen advisory committee, which is probably a clarification in, I'd say, all the city charters that I'm aware of that use a citizen review process. It's an advisory committee that then makes recommendations to the city council, who ultimately has the power to put something on the ballot. So that language should be clarified if indeed you want to do it that way. The schedule that is currently set up in your charter is unrealistic. It does not give enough time to adopt an ordinance and get it on the ballot. Supervisors of elections control how far in advance you need to get items on to them to put it on the ballot. So again, this needs to be fixed so that if you do this process, which you're doing now, that you do it according to the needs of the supervisor of elections who runs the elections. And some information just about the ballot ordinance. So that needs attention. You have a section in Section 10 that deals with initiative and referendum. First of all, let me explain what those are. An initiative is an instance where, say, there's some really important issue that lots of citizens in Palm Coast would like to see the city council pass a law, an initiative, a law, something that's not in existence now that you would like to see happen. And you go before them, whoever's in office then, and you present your case and you show evidence of why this needs to happen, and the city council says, we're not interested, we don't want to pass that law, and so they don't take any action on it. At that point, your charter has a provision for the citizens could collect a petition of people showing that there is interest in this and take that petition back to the city council saying, there's a lot of interest and support, we want you to pass this ordinance, pass this law, local law. They could at that time agree, yeah, you're right, lots of people want to do this, and we'll pass a law, and it ends there, you have a new law. Or they could still be resistant and say, we are not going to do this, and then the citizens collecting enough petitions could directly put that on the ballot, and the citizens would be able to vote if they wanted that new law to go in effect. So it would bypass the city council, and it would force them to put an ordinance on the ballot for you all to vote on. So it's a kind of a safeguard that a lot of cities have agreed to put into their charter to allow some direct citizen access to the passing of local laws, local ordinances. Referendum is the opposite of that. Referendum is, what if the city council passes a law that you hate, and you have gone to them when they were in the process of passing this, and you were pleading with them, don't do this, this is going to be terrible for our city, we hate it, and they ignored you, and they went ahead and they passed this ordinance. Well, a referendum is the reverse process of an initiative. It's to get a repeal of a local law or ordinance that has been passed. And again, you go through a process of collecting enough petitions and putting it on the ballot for everyone to vote to do away with a law that you are not in favor of. So while your current charter has provisions for this, in my estimation, it's an inadequate provision because it does not describe at all the process that you need to go through to do this. And it's a fairly complicated process, as it should be, and the percents that you have in your charter are not appropriate of the number of petitions you would have to gather. And it does not, it doesn't have a good time frame for doing this. And so in a document that's called the Model City Charter, which is something put out by a group called the National Civic League, they give some excellent recommendations about how you should set up that process for initiative and referendum. And so it's good, it's in your charter. It's not well written in your charter, so it needs to be adjusted if you want to maintain that. And then it also, it talks about the election and when those laws would go into force or when a law would be repealed. I talked about this at the last meeting. In this section, there is a whole description, which is pretty well done, of how you redistrict. As the city continues to grow, your four districts may get out of balance. And so the idea is that every 10 years after the census, that a citizen commission is appointed to redraw those boundaries so they remain equal. So you have one person, one vote, as the federal constitution requires. And I think it's fine what you have. The problem is that it probably needs to be moved to a different section. There's the section that talks about, in section 9, about elections and things. It would be better to put that, move that whole thing over into that section, which is a minor change. So section 11, which I told you is that one little paragraph on severability, language might need to be changed a little bit. The wording is kind of clumsy in the way it's written, but what it means in there is if somebody finds one portion of your charter invalid, illegal, that doesn't mean the whole charter is invalid or illegal. So it just severs that one piece that needs to come out of the charter and still leaves the rest of the charter standing. And so the wording in your charter now talks about the act, not the charter. The act was the law when the legislature passed an act to form the city of Palm Coast, but that's not what you have now. You have a charter that would be invalid, perhaps in parts, but the severability still needs to be there. And then the last section, which is the transition schedule, and this sets up, as you became a city, how did you develop your land regulations, your comprehensive plan, your shifting from being under the county's control onto your own city council, and just about everything in there is obsolete because you are a city, and you've been a city almost 20 years, and that language is meaningless now. So while there might need to be some kind of ability to still have some transition, it could be combined with transition and severability are frequently in the same section, and no need to have it there on its own with language that isn't helpful to the city at this point. So those were the things that I identified, and we're back to opening it up for public comment, not just on those three sections, but on anything, and I'm sorry I forgot last time. Let me open it first for questions. If there's anything about what I've just said, what I've not said, what's in other parts of the charter that you may be questioning, let me first address any of those questions, and then I'll go back and give you time to comment on anything from your perspective, things you want to see done, changed, eliminated, added. So, questions? Yes. And again, I'm going to ask you to use the microphone just so everyone can hear. We're kind of spread out.
Kim Medley, District 2. I have a question. You said this was approved by the Florida legislature, because this had to be approved in order for Palm Coast to eventually become incorporated. Is that right? Okay. So there's a particular way that our U.S. Constitution is amended, and there's a specific way in Article 9, Section 2 of the Florida Constitution. In fact, there's a Florida Constitution Review Committee going on right now. Okay, so what I don't understand is if Section 10.2AB was approved by the Florida legislature in 1999, allowing us to incorporate. Why is it that section that lays out how to do the charter review can't be used now? And you said that most cities refer to it as an advisory committee or whatever. The city of Bunnell has one even shorter than ours, and they did a charter review committee where citizens were appointed by the council, and there was some grumblings from council, but they did it anyhow, and they were able to go through and come up with a charter review committee. So why can't Palm Coast do that?
Okay, I'm going to respond partially because I was not part of the decision-making process. I didn't hear any of the discussions. I know in your current charter you have several options of how to review the charter, and your council chose to do it this way through public meetings, and I believe recently the city of Apopka did something similar to that too. So you have the option to do it that way. The city attorney is not here tonight. I think he has responded to that comment before that the city is in line with state law. It may not be, the way that everyone wants it to be done, but it is legal. And I'll go back to my comments of this is one of the areas of the charter that's ambiguous. So, questions?
Given the fact that the city attorney in a public forum said that this is not a charter review, what are we going to call this?
The city is calling it, I don't know. it's an opportunity. The charter is being looked at. If you want to take the word review out, it's being looked at. It's going to be debated among the council with input from citizens, who that'll be a public meeting also on the 28th of November. And it'll be debated and discussed whether any changes are needed. So. Another question? We're just on questions.
John Brady, Palm Coast, again, a follow-up question. Please show me in the charter where there are alternative means. What section?
I have to go look at it, but it says according to state law, and the state law allows citizens, councils to change the charter. Yeah. Other questions? Let's see, raise your hand here. Yes, sir.
Norm Mugford, I'm in District 2. If after this educational process that we've been going through for the past month or 6 weeks, whatever, the council decides that there is going to be a charter review committee, who is qualified to be on that committee?
So you're saying if they wanted to establish a committee at that time? They can set up the qualifications. There are some in there. I think basically you have to be a resident of the city, maybe a voter, and that's about it. Now, they can set it up so each district has a representative. Right now, I'm working with two cities that have citizens' committees, and one of them has 7 people on it, and one of them has 9 people on it. One of them has 2 alternates who come to the meetings but aren't allowed to talk or vote, and just if somebody misses a certain number of meetings, then the alternate goes on. So there's an array of ways that you can create these. The members are generally appointed by the city council, and usually you can't have any employees sitting on it or elected officials. However, I assisted a city who had the city clerk sitting as a member of, it was highly unusual, but she was on the charter review committee. And in one city, I had the mayor was sitting on the charter review committee, but that was a mayor who did not vote and didn't preside at the meetings, but was automatically a member of every committee they set up. So it's, again, cities have a lot of leeway.
Thank you. Second part of my question, you came close to answering it. What I'm concerned about is I'm already on one of the city boards, but I'm not a city employee. Would that disqualify me, or could I still be qualified?
As a non-lawyer, I'm going to not give a definitive answer. There's some prohibitions in state law about holding dual office. I don't know that it applies to this kind of an ad hoc short-term committee. Some cities have their own policies about not letting people serve on two advisory committees at the same time. So legally, I can't tell you if it's, you know, legal or illegal, but certainly you're not an employee if you're just a volunteer serving on committees. But it would really have to do with whether that was considered dual office holding. Other questions? Yeah, okay. I'll come right back to you.
George Meegan, District 2. The committee is supposed to be in place 1 year prior to the ballot, the election. That means November 5th this year, that committee has to be established by the council and the mayor.
I wasn't sure I heard the question there, but go with your statement.
I came in kind of late, so I didn't get your introduction. Are you the consultant that's been hired to supervise this operation?
To facilitate.
Okay, that's right. I just want to make sure.
Yes, I work at the University of Central Florida. I direct the Institute of Government. So I've been asked to assist and to facilitate this process. And I guess, as you can hear, I've done lots of these charter processes throughout the state for quite a few years. So. My name is Marilyn Crotty. Other questions? Okay, well now I'm gonna open it again to public comment. And this is the time that if you have, you know, statements that you want to make, I think the charter needs to, or we need to change this, or that should be left alone, or whatever, let me again give all of you an opportunity to share your ideas, your viewpoints, your concerns.
Thank you. Norm Mugford, District 2. I missed the last meeting, but I was at the previous two. And again, I'm going to state that I don't think the city charter should be open. I think that it should just continue on. I think we're opening up a can of worms. But after saying that, I would also like to say that I appreciate, Ms. Crotty, the work that you've done to bring this information to the people of Palm Coast so that they can be educated on what's going on. Without this, I think all of us would be wondering what was the city charter. I've looked at it, not in depth, but I've looked at it. So you've answered a lot of questions, but it also leaves a lot of questions. And in doing that, again, I don't think we should be doing anything with the city charter. Leave it the way it is. And that's the reason why I say that, is because if we open it up, there's a whole bunch of questions that are going to come up. And it's going to drag this out. I believe when Mr. Meegan mentioned about this being done within a year, I believe the city council has the authority to extend that or to shorten it before it goes on the ballot. But I think they have a drop dead date for the date it goes on the ballot, but that's all, if I'm not mistaken.
George Meegan, District 2. I'm a fisherman, so I like a can of worms. And I open it up, and I get fish. We're being denied that right here. And I want to go fishing. I want to have that committee. I want to take the 10 months. I want to have the people put the input in. I don't want closed-doors meetings the way the city operates. I want open. I want the public, independent, qualified people appointed post-haste.
Okay, I'm going to get this gentleman and then I'll go back to you.
I do have one thought on it. I think the charter.
Oh, yeah, state your name.
I think of Jasper Spears. I'm in Precinct 11.
Thank you.
I think that there should be a committee, a citizens committee appointed to work the charter. That each council member can appoint, as I recall in the charter, would appoint one member from his district, from his and I think that's how it should be done. A citizens committee appointed to review the charter.
Ken Medley, District 2. If the people have been entrusted to amend the U.S. Constitution in a specified process, and if the people of Florida have been so entrusted with a process that is traveling around the state as we speak, and there wasn't a five-slide presentation that said, hey, you can do it this way. No, they're doing it the way it's been outlined in Article 9, Section 2 of the Florida State Constitution. And our sister city of Bunnell didn't have a problem doing this. In fact, they came up with a schedule. They developed an application process so citizens could apply and the applications could be reviewed by their city council. They did it through an ordinance process, setting up exactly what the Charter Review Committee was to do. And the part that I find the most intriguing that the City of Bunnell did, it said the city manager and city attorney are hereby directed to assist the Charter Review Committee. So Bunnell did it. I know for a fact the city of Winter Springs did it. And we have it set out in our charter. It's very simple. And it says that the council shall appoint and the council shall fund. And it shall be appointed at least 1 year before the next general election. And changes are to be brought no later than 60 days. So this is not that hard to understand. It's fifth grade English. And the answer to all of this, to all of this ambiguity, is to return to the charter. Because the charter does not say that there are three ways to review your charter. It says there are three ways to amend your charter. And the hybrid process has not been voted on by the people at all. It was developed during a workshop by consensus, not by an ordinance, not by a motion, not by a resolution. So the answer, quite simply, is to return to the charter and appoint a charter review committee. Thank you.
Other comments? Yeah, okay, over here.
Meeting George Mayo. I want to thank you for the service that you've done for the city. I think you've been very fair and unbiased and imparting your wisdom, having been doing this for a while, and I want to thank you. Again, as I stated last week, I think this is a valuable alternative to having a charter committee. As we can see, you can almost count the people here other than the city officials on two hands. It was open to the public. I don't think it would make a difference if you had five people sitting up there as a charter review or members of the council here taking advice and listening to what's going on. If there was such a demand of all these people to have that, I would think this room would be overflowing and we'd have to move it to a bigger venue. I think what is being done right now is a fair alternative. I don't see a problem with it, and let's just get on with it. Thank you.
Did you want to speak? Okay.
John Brady again. You know, I've heard that the citizens don't care, and you know what? To a great extent, that's right. And they don't care, perhaps because the administration will do whatever they please. It is spelled out clearly in the charter, and the state law says that a city can change the charter notwithstanding the provisions in their charter. This is a provision in the charter, and I still have not had the question answered that I asked before. Where does it say we can use an alternate means to do it? It's got to be done. And if this is going to be done this way, there, people can make suggestions, and I have made suggestions, and if you go on the city webpage, you'll see it. One of the suggestions is that when the citizens speak and vote on an issue, that the council or the administration can't arbitrarily change the mind. I bring to your consideration the City Hall. Twice it was voted down, and yet it was built. They've just not listened to it, and I think that's a reason why people don't show up. What's the difference? You come here, you say something, and something gets done against what you said. Thank you.
Other comments? Anything else? Okay, sure.
George Meegan, District 2. Since there's quite a few people that agree with that, the council and the mayor should know that they will be in violation of the charter, perhaps state law, and perhaps the U.S. Constitution if they do not act and set up that committee by the 5th of November.
Okay. Right, so I'll give any of the elected officials an opportunity.
So let me ask this question, and I'm not being facetious or I'm not being any disrespectful, but let's assume for a second this committee doesn't get created, okay? And we're moving ahead with modifying this. What I'd like to know is specifically for the next time, so we don't have this issue, how do you want the charter reviewed? Because I don't understand yet, because right now it's very, even if we did a committee, the way the charter is written, if we did the committee, we don't really have to, the council takes it under advisement. Is that what you want? Do you want it, those are the kind of things in addition to what you're saying right now, because I want you to, you're voicing your opinion, but let's assume, and I'm just saying that, let's keep both ends taken care of. What exactly would you want that section to, how would you want that section laid out so that when we start considering these changes, that you get what you want in the amendment without having to wait for another one? So I would like to ask that. If anybody has.
Would anyone like to respond? Yes, sir.
Before I worked here, I worked for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and they have laws. And you know what the penalty was for not following the law if you work for the state of Pennsylvania? Your ass was fired. What do we want? We want the charter followed. How much more clear can something be written? Yes, we want changes, but we want it done in the process outlined in the charter.
Anybody else want to respond to that? Okay.
Nick Lupus, Palm Coast. My question is, earlier in your slides, you had said that the amount of petitions that were necessary and the verbiage that we had in our current city charter wasn't applicable to a city of our size. So my question would be, I believe that number right now is 10% of our electorate.
For the
25.
Yes, there is a footnote in the charter that counties did say that we comply with state law.
So is there a number that you think would be more appropriate? And I ask this question only because, okay, so we align with state law?
There's another thing that's not in your, I don't believe is in your charter, and a lot of cities put this in. You need to put some limitations on, and this goes back to the initiative process, that you cannot have an initiative that would affect the budget, salaries, some even put the comprehensive plan, some of those basic things. You wouldn't want to allow that to be part of the initiative process, which needs the petitions and the signatures too. So that's something that's missing from your process. Any other comments?
Kim Medley, District 2, and I just want to briefly respond to Mr. Nabil. And I don't know if you had a chance to read what the city of Vinnell did. They did it in a very eloquent manner, if you ask me. They set out in an ordinance what their charter review committee is going to do. And they're going to make written recommendations to the city commission. But they also put in there that if there were certain housekeeping issues, that their staff, the city staff, could present those to the committee to be considered as housekeeping. I mean, I don't understand what the issue is or why, for some reason, citizens can't be entrusted to do this. It's been done. It's been done in this county. It's been done across this state. And the only answer that I keep coming back to is this is a control issue. We're not trusted. And it's simply a way so that people can go back to their districts and say, yep, we tried to do the charter review. Didn't work out.
So the only thing I do want to close out with is that nothing will be changed in the charter unless the citizens want to change it. So ultimately, while the way it is being done now, the council may or may not put something on the ballot, but they are not the final determinators of anything that changes the charter, impacts the charter, adds to the charter, deletes from the charter. That is solely the responsibility of the citizens who go to the polls and vote yes or no on the various amendments, if there are some on the ballot. So while the question of who has power and who has control, ultimately it's you all. And I think it's great. I think it's so good that some of you have really taken this on and are passionate about it, are well informed, are doing your civic duty, and I hope you will continue, and I know you, some of you will continue to follow this process and impact it and influence it. And just from someone who sees a lot of citizen apathy, I want to commend you all for taking your time to come to these meetings, to do your research, again, the website, I believe, is still open for further comments. We've gotten some good suggestions and things that are in there. That'll be incorporated into the report that I'll be putting together for the council, and we'll see how the process goes from there.
George Meegan, District 2. One other thing that's required of the committee, it has to be funded. And I've done some calculations. It's going to be just shy of $100,000 that they're going to need, because they're going to have to spend about 10 hours a week for 40 weeks.
Well, I will tell you, first of all, wait a minute. Citizens committees don't get paid for doing their work. So it's volunteer. I've never seen, nor would it be appropriate to pay volunteers to serve on a citizens committee. I wish I got $100,000 for working on. So the most of the ones that I've been involved with, I mean, at the real, you know, I mean, they range from about $4,000 to maybe $10,000. I mean, it's all a volunteer thing, so it's very, very limited. So don't let that, you know, be a consideration. Whichever way you go, the cost is minimal.
It does state in the state law that they will be funded.
Yes, but that doesn't mean paying salaries. What that means, what it means is if they have to hire an attorney to work with the committee, if they have to hire a facilitator to work with the committee, if they have to have printing, if they have to have educational publications, you know, by the model charter for the citizens. So it's that funding of the process, but it would not be paying the people who serve. Yeah, a lot of people would want that job, then maybe we'd get great participation.
I promise this will be my last comment. If a committee is chosen, I don't know who will be on the committee, but I'm pretty damn sure I know who will not be on the committee.
Okay. All right.
Norm Mudford, District 2. This Friday, last meeting I attended, the second in this series, I'd asked you approximately between 1 and 10 how you felt our charter is. And you didn't give me a number. You gracefully worked your way away from that, and I appreciate that. But your comment was that it wasn't well, now I forget what the comment is. But it, our charter is not that bad. Since I haven't been here in 2 weeks, I was wondering if you had come up with a number of 1 to 10 tonight.
Right. What I'll say, it's certainly not the worst charter I've seen. It's not a charter that needs to be totally thrown out and totally rewritten. And I recently worked with a city that we had to do that. I mean, there was nothing worth redeeming and other than their form of government. They did keep the same form of government, but the whole charter went out and a brand new charter was adopted. And that's a city that's 150 years old. Now, they had... The charter wasn't from 150 years ago, but you know, I hesitate to put a number because charters vary so much. As far as this one being covering a lot of the basics, yes, it does. There are areas that are confusing that definitely need to be cleaned up. There are areas that leave too much to the imagination and interpretation. And there are areas that don't have enough information to guarantee that there'll be positive results. So could you continue without changing it? Sure. I mean, you've lived with this one for 18, 19 years. But I always say to the folks that I work with, government is not static. Times change. You need to at least look at things that may no longer be relevant, that need updating, that because of whether it's population or the environment or trends or issues that are current now that weren't here 20 years ago, that there's certainly, you know, things that could be addressed. So, you know, again, it's not up to me. I'm neutral on this. My goal in all of this is to help this community end up with the best charter you can have. So if you can tweak something that's in existence that could be better, that's all to the good. Maybe a B, B minus, we'll get there. We're close, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, anything else that anyone would like to say? Okay, well, I want to thank you all again, too. And, you know, I know you're not going to stop participating, so I look forward to further interactions. Okay.